Hello, and welcome to this episode of the REBT Advocates with Dr. Michael R. Adelstein of 3minutetherapy.com. You can find this book, 3-Minute Therapy, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life, at therebt.life. And me, Tommy Bateman, I am a counselor based out of Virginia. You can email us both at rebtadvocates@gmail.com. We would love to get information from you. We got a 3-minute exercise there for you to fill out just below. And you can send those into us, and we can use a whole episode off of that thing. But today, though, we're not talking about a 3-minute exercise. We're talking about our approach to medications. Is REBT okay with psychotropic meds? Well, let's find out. But before we do, Michael, what you got for me?
Oh, yeah. I just want to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm Dr. Michael Adelstein. I have 40 years experience helping people with rational emotive behavior therapy, the subject of our episodes, REBT. And you can find my practice link below and my 3-minute therapy book link in the description below. And I just wanted to mention a new option for you REBT lovers, and that is Tommy has his own practice also, and it's called Sensible Solutions. So if you want another great REBT therapist, connect with Tommy. And if you want two great REBT therapists and you want to have both of us as co-joint therapists for you, I'm sure we can work out a mutually agreeable rate.
Indeed. Indeed. Thank you, Michael. So
you're welcome. Did you want to introduce the subject, Tommy?
Yes. So, Michael, you came up with this one. We wanted to talk about our relationship with medications and psychotropic medications in particular. So we're talking Wellbutrin for depression, Buspar for anxiety, Risperdal for all the things that Risperdal does. What is REBT's opinion on it? How do we approach it? How do we work with folks that are taking that? And do we have an opinion on them?
Yeah, I think REBT is very flexible about medications.
Yeah.
The first rule of thumb, in fact, the first law of psychology, is that there are individual differences. Everyone's somewhat different. So the idea is, since you're stuck with you 24 hours a day, to find out what works for you. Now, here are some options that clients of mine or other non-clients of mine have chosen. Some have chosen just REBT therapy. They prefer not to rely on medications at all. I've met other people who just prefer taking the meds. They don't want to do the work that's usually required in REBT to make significant changes, so they're just on meds. I have other clients who do both. They like the REBT, and then they find the medication supplements that, or the REBT supplements the medication. So both is another option. But the ultimate goal of REBT is to teach you to be your own therapist. So another option that many of my clients use is they come to me on meds, but their goal is to use REBT to taper off the meds. And that's certainly a viable solution. So I advise you to experiment with the above, whatever sounds good to you, try it and use trial and error and see what works for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I usually recommend something similar to that. So let's take depression, for example. A drug like Wellbutrin has great results when it comes to getting out of that physical state of depression, that difficulty getting up, difficulty starting yourself doing things, that malaise feel. And I'm talking about the physical sensations of depression. And that's an unfortunate word, depression, because we have the depressed state, like a depressed emotional state, which can be solved through REBT. And then we have the kind of depressed physical state that often comes with genetics. So my approach to that is if you would prefer to take the medications to get out of that physical state, it really does help get you on the playing field in order to start doing the work. So sometimes people have trouble even starting doing the work that REBT requires because they just feel like crap, quite honestly. So I have no problem with it. In fact, REBT, in my opinion, stance on medications is it's similar to its stance on diet, exercise, sleeping well, and all that. Those things are things that help you get to the emotional state that you want to be in, but ultimately does not determine the emotional state you're going to be in, because it is your beliefs that do.
Yeah, I'd just like to add to that, Tommy, and I agree with everything you said, that no matter how severe your problem is, and I've worked with people with lifelong depression, which is sometimes called endemic depression. I think that's the term. Is that the term?
And now it's recurrent, I think, in the DSM-5. So, I mean, same thing.
Okay, recurrent depression, which... Yeah. By which I mean you've been depressed all your life. There are people in your family depressed, so you have a strong genetic influence to be depressed. That doesn't mean you necessarily would immediately default to medication. I've had clients who've been deeply depressed. Medication didn't help. Electric convulsive therapy didn't help, but them working conscientiously on doing REBT and especially the 3-minute exercises, the ABCs, helped dramatically. So again, we go back to individual differences.
Absolutely. Now, here's one thing where I am going to unequivocally recommend getting with a psychiatrist and getting those psychotropic meds is if you are experiencing hallucinations and psychosis. REBT cannot cure you of psychoses because that is a physical brain issue, not a belief system issue. Now, REBT can help you cope and emotionally handle those psychotic symptoms, but they cannot cure it. So take your meds on that one, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good one. And I worked with a paranoid schizophrenic client once. And when he was doing the 3-minute exercises regularly, as Tommy said, although it didn't cure him, it kept him out of being institutionalized because the severity was reduced. And he didn't stop having hallucinations, but he just stopped having muss about it. For example, he thought that there were people on his roof listening to him, and he was living in a cabin. There was no one above him, but he got over his need for approval. So he didn't like the people on his roof criticizing him, but he didn't put himself down or be needy about their disapproval.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Michael, I think that covers the gambit. Do you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I do have a few things I want to add, that the two bottom lines are individual differences and experiment. Mm-hmm. And the experimenting has all kinds of aspects to it, because different people have different experiences with the same medications. Absolutely. For example, some of the most common side effects that I've noted in clients who have been on medication is weight gain, mm-hmm. and lowered libido, lowered sexual interest. Mm-hmm. So those are two things to watch out for, but it's not necessarily going to happen to you. Again, it's experiment. Another one is tolerance. So it's not that unusual that you'll be using an antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication that works for a while and then it stops working. So that means more experimentation, increase the dose or try a different medication. So those are things to keep in mind. And I'd like to reinforce something you said, Tommy, that there are two kinds of addiction. Two kinds of problems. There could be a physical depression, mm-hmm. where your body just feels low, lethargic. And then there's a psychological depression. And I think that could exist with anxious or stressed feelings in your body.
Absolutely.
But similarly, there's physical versus psychological addiction. So you could be addicted to a medication in the sense that you get withdrawal symptoms if you try to stop it, but that doesn't mean you're psychologically addicted. Psychologically addicted means you have a demand. I must avoid these symptoms when I try to taper off, and that creates psychological addictions, or I need the drug to function, another psychological addiction.
And so
just to wrap up on this, there is uncertainty, and it's trial and error when you try meds. No medical doctor, psychiatrist can tell you exactly how you're going to react to it. It's still not an exact science. So again,
they're just trying, they're experimenting.
Yeah, that's right. They may not tell you that, but they're experimenting exactly.
So when you come back a month later, so how did it work? Not too good, doc. All right, well, we're going to try on this next.
That's exactly.
That's normal, you won't, guys.
Yeah, you won't hear a psychiatrist saying, well, I guess I can't help you because meds don't work for you.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. Let's try another one. And there are tons of them out there try. So they'll be in business for a long time. Did you have any final words, Tommy?
No, Michael, thanks for putting this one together. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tommy. And if you have any thoughts about this episode, please comment below. Send us or give us a like if you liked it. Suggest subjects for future podcasts and episodes. And volunteer if you'd like to come on with us. We recently had a volunteer, and if you're a therapist or a client, you'd like to discuss an issue with your client or with yourself, please come on. Donate to Patreon to help us with help us fund the podcasting, which we're now doing. Isn't that correct, Tommy? We're doing podcasting now too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that comes with a monthly fee, guys. It's humble monthly fee, but hey, any help can help. Anything can help.
And could it be as little as $1 a month?
Oh, easily, I think. Yeah, Patreon, I think, lets you.
Great. Yeah. So that would be wonderful to help fund that and also show your appreciation. And subscribe to the REBT Advocates to stay on the rational side of life.